Guys, make some room.
Toyota.
Been victim to a bad call? You ever been done unjustly? Have you ever had somebody smear your name? Not because they know you, but because they heard this about you, even if it's untrue? Have you ever received a black eye for standing up for what's right? Have you ever done the right thing and was left wounded? You know, a lot of times we think that the compassion that we are to give is one that people should earn. But that's not compassion at all. A love earned isn't really love. Jesus Christ received more than a black eye. He received more than a bad rep. He received more than mockery and an occasional beating. He received the justice of God on behalf of our sin. He took upon that which he did not owe for. He took upon a debt. He took upon a punishment. He took upon a life which he did not have to live. Christ was perfect and is perfect. Christ did no wrong, but for the wrongs of all, the wrongs for me, you, and I, he bled, and he died, and he rose again. Amen. That's compassion. When we look at the black eyes we receive from the world, we can look in the mirror and sometimes go, I cannot believe that happened today. Friday night, we went to a playoff game for Lifegate in Belleville. That is a long way away to go for a playoff game. And then we stood in the cold, and it was cold. Our hot chocolate froze after they gave it for us to at the concession stand window. It was cold, right? We're coming home. We had the munchies. You ever get the munchies late at night? You know you should go to bed, but you're hungry, right? And so we stop at Jack in the Box, and they have this wonderful thing called Munchie Box, Munchie Meal. And it is amazing. For like $6, you can get a pound of grease that satisfies the soul. It's amazing. So we're getting out, and the boys are excited about getting Munchie Meals. We're all excited. We're at Jack in the Box. It's 11 at night. We are hyped up on hot chocolate and a victory. Man, we're feeling good. And a little Jack in the Box is going to top the night off. And a lady rolls up as soon as we get out of the car, and we're on the side of 10 in Columbus. And she pulls up and she goes, hey, I'm headed, I need some gas money in this, right? And she goes, I just need a little gas money, I need to get back to Houston, please can you give me some money? Without thinking, reach in my wallet, pull out some dollar bills, man, hand it to her, good luck. We're sitting there and we're watching her drive off. Now between us and the highway, there are three gas stations. I don't know if she didn't see them. I don't know if she was unaware that you can buy gas at those gas stations at 11 o'clock, but she did not stop at the gas station, right? And no one should look at me, and Jake look at me, and they're like, well, I guess she didn't need the gas, right? At that moment, we have a choice. I have a choice. I can either go, man, I hope she gets hers, right? Man, I hope she gets a flat, right? Man, I hope, you know, we can start going down that rabbit trail immediately, right? Because, man, we feel like we've been offended, right? How dare she take some compassion that I gave her and squander that on whatever she's going to buy? She may need new nails. I don't know. She may be collecting money for whatever reason. I have no idea. But it's not for me to say who I give compassion to. It's not for us to go, they deserve compassion, and they don't. Because God looked at us when we never deserved compassion, and he gave it to us. Man, at Thanksgiving, we come in a time where we look around and we have a plethora of blessings. You are going to have on your table, more food than most of the world has in a month. Do you realize that? Do you realize that my friend has adopted two children from Africa? One as a baby and one as an adolescent. They adopted them from Africa. And when they brought their son back, he turned 12. And they had the first Thanksgiving with their son, right? And he wanted to prepare his son for what's about to happen. And he said, listen, we're going to have a lot of people over and a lot of food. And he said he tried the best to show him the immense amount of food that's going to be on this table. And he said the way we woke up and people are bringing things. You know, what are you responsible for this Thanksgiving? The turkey, the green bean casserole, the banana pudding. You're responsible for something. And if not, you'll stop at Walgreens on the way and pick up something because everybody needs to bring something to Thanksgiving, right? We just do that. We're accustomed to bringing. And man, all this food's coming in the door. This kid is jaw-drawled because he's never seen so much food in his entire life. We have the provision of our physical needs in this country like nobody's business, right? We have food on call 24 hours a day. Whataburger does not close, right? We can get whatever we want at any time. You don't have to walk miles for clean water. You simply turn the handle. Unbelievable. And then we have this beautiful freedom where we can express our love and devotion to God in any platform, on any pedestal. We can lift up God's name high without fear of being jailed or shot or killed or have our families beaten and left out for dead. We live in a country where we can celebrate God freely. We have each other. You know, every time we have stepped out of a church to enter into a new season of ministry at another church, I always think, is there really going to be a family like this where we're going? Is there really going to be this connection that we have here? And me and Amy, we talk about it, and we take that leap not knowing if God is going to provide us a church family. And listen, you are our family. You are, we love you guys. We miss being here with you. When we're not here, right? We want to be here. We desire to be here. And man, each time God has put in our lives this beautiful church family. We have his word and we have his spirit. We have blessings so far as the eye could see. We have so many blessings. Why? Because God is compassionate. God is compassionate. The kingdom of God is founded and built on compassion. You got to remember that the Bible needs to be read as a whole. If you haven't read through the Bible, I want you to think about something, starting something this year. You're going to make a lot of New Year's resolutions in about 50 days. And you're going to make a New Year's resolution to walk on that treadmill that has become a coat rack. You're going to make a resolution to change your oil every 3,000 miles instead of every 30. You're going to make some kind of resolution, okay? Right? But here's the resolution that you need to make. If you haven't read the Bible all the way through yet, you need to do so. You're living impoverished in your spiritual understanding if you've not read the Bible all the way through, right? And if we read the Bible all the way through, we know there's two covenants, don't we? There's a new covenant and an old covenant. The old covenant was contractual. It means that if you do this, then I'll do this. If you obey my laws, then I will bless you, right? I will bless you if you obey these commandments. But then Jesus shows up and he blows that all the water because Jesus does something that we cannot do. He fulfilled every law and prophecy. He kept every letter of the law, down to the iota. God himself did what you could not do for yourself, and he did so because he had compassion on us. He knew you couldn't do it. He knew you couldn't do it. Now, my mom, she's a little old thing. Man, she's not old. Whoa, that was recorded. Was that recorded? Stop that pause, all right? She is little, man. She has these little tiny hands, right? And she has these little tiny hands. And, well, this will happen every year at Thanksgiving. She'll go to open a can, and she won't ask. And she'll sit in the corner of the kitchen, and she'll be wringing her hands around that can, right? And all of us are like, Mom, come on. You know you can't open that. Like, that is not happening. Hand it over, right? And we open it up for her, right? We do for those we love, which they cannot do for themselves. If you change a diaper, you do for somebody what you cannot do for themselves. We love people, and so we do what they can't do. Man, I'm not a good mechanic. And every time that my car is trouble, people in this community step up and help me fix my car. Because I don't know what a carburetor looks like. I don't. And I don't care to. I'm too old to learn that. But here's the deal. People do for each other which they know they can't do. Christ did something for us. He lived and died and rose again on our behalf so he could become the victory for us, the victory that we cannot solidify for ourselves. The kingdom of God is built on this compassion because God is compassion. One cannot spend a millisecond in the presence of God and not feel loved. Have you ever met a person who is just immensely loving? Right? That man, they bend up. Man, as soon as you walk into their house, my Aunt B was that way, my grand Aunt B, right? She lived in Bugaloosa, Louisiana. And as soon as we wouldn't see her for years. We'd walk in, oh, come here, baby. I just happened to have a ham in the oven. Let's go eat. Come on, sit down. And she would immediately start serving us food, whether we're hungry or not, no matter what time of day. She loved on us. Man, we were 13 years old. She'd like, do you want me to come tuck you in? My dad's like, don't tuck them in. They're grown boys. She's like, oh, I'd love to. Come here, baby. She just wanted to love on us. Right? You ever been around somebody like that? Right? Doesn't that feel good? You leave feeling fulfilled because that love is undeserved. I didn't do nothing for my Aunt B. I was born into the family. But she loved me. And God loves us. God loves us unconditionally. And it's the truest form of his character. God's benevolence seeks and gives to those who do not deserve, those who cannot repay, those who reject him with raised fists, calling him enemy. That's who God has compassion on. And God gave his son for them. The greatest act of love, the most genuine gift of compassion that this world will ever pay witness to. And then he does something extraordinary. He sends the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and among us. What a great, compassionate God. And if we're to be like God in character, then we must be compassionate too. Don't you like this? Don't you like this? Man, I wish that would happen to me. I would, man. You ever just want to peel out on somebody and soak them with a mud puddle? Man, there's been some bad calls in our lives, haven't there? Where we are dealt unjustly by somebody else. And not for any good reason. They just wanted to be unkind and unjust. And it's so like us as humans to want to retaliate, to slap them back, to knock them down where we've been knocked down. But that's not for the Christ follower. And that's not for us who are ready to make disciples. We must live out the attributes of Christ, and it is our chief responsibility. It is our chief responsibility to act on compassion. So, with that being said, let's dig into the scripture. Flip with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. You will flip to the New Testament section of your Bible. you will go not only one, but two books in, and you'll find yourself in the Gospel of Luke. There'll be Matthew, there'll be Mark, and then there is Luke. Comes right before John, the third in the Synoptic Gospels. Luke, written by the physician. Luke chapter 14. We're going to start there in verse 12. When you're there, say amen. If some of you get there late, you can say amen and just encourage me as I preach. He said also to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, and do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Verse 15. When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I've bought five yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house became angry and said to his servants, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in the poor, and the crippled, and the blind, and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you've commanded has been done, but there's still room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges, and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who are invited shall taste my banquet. Interesting sermon to preach. When I was coming up with this the sermon series, I really didn't know this was going to fall on Thanksgiving, right? Where all of you are inviting friends and family over for a banquet. That's, yeah, thanks, Bo. Way to convict us, right? Yay for Thanksgiving dinner, right? It's not what this is talking about. Let's talk about this story and let's talk about what this means for us today. First of all, we see the character of God. God invites all to the banquet. That's amazing. It doesn't matter your creed, your color, your background, your status, your wealth, or your poverty. It doesn't matter your height, your size, whether you're fat or skinny. God does not care. He invites you to sit at His table and dwell in the presence of His blessing. That is an amazing thing. That's awesome. You didn't earn it. It's just who He is. The character of God is that He wants to reside and abide with His people. He wants to be near you. I know that's hard to believe because when I look in the mirror sometimes, I don't know if I want to be around myself. How could God want to be around Bo Hinote even on a good day? How could He deal with somebody like me? I'll tell you how He could deal with somebody like you. He sees you through the eyes of Christ. He sees you through the eyes of compassion. He doesn't look what you can do for Him. He looks what He can do for you. He loves you. And He wants to love you. And He wants, man, compassion comes in such opportune times. Man, I've had some horrible things happen in my life. Horrible things. And you probably have too. We could probably spend the next several hours talking about how God has met us in the horrible times where He sends a person into our life to hug us and comfort us and be there for us. Sometimes God comes in the hands of the smallest child. Sometimes I'll preach a sermon, really rough sermon, hard sermon, and some of you are like, man, he preaches hard. When I preach hard, I go home and I sleep. It takes a spiritual toll on my soul. I don't know if I can explain that very properly. But when you empty yourself as a pastor in a 45-minute session, man, it depletes you. And sometimes, man, I'm burdened because what I've preached, I know it's hard to live up to because I will not preach what I have not put into practice. And I know what cost it's going to cost you guys. And I'll come home and I'll basically mourn the sermon I preached. I know it sounds horrible, but I know how tough it is. And I'll come and I'll lay on my bed. I don't even take off my shoes. I'll just flop down on my bed. And you know what's funny? Brooklyn always knows that it's been a rough Sunday. And she'll come. She'll get on the pillows on my bed. Because remember, I'm super OCD. So my pillows are all fluffed and nice. And she'll come and she'll get one of those pillows and she'll pull off and she'll put it underneath my head and she'll just rub my hair. Just like this. She doesn't say anything. Well, sometimes she says stuff. It's more like, Daddy, you don't have any hair. Dad, you're getting old. That's what she says. But you know what she's doing? She's paying attention to me. She's comforting me. And man, I love that, right? And man, I wake up from her doing that, and she's not even there. She's just gone. She did her little thing. She's gone. How God gives us compassion in those tiny moments that are so magnificent. God shows us compassion when we wake early in the morning and realize we're still breathing. What a wonderful blessing that God gives us that we call His compassion. And so He invites all, because this is the character of God. He wants all to feel this compassion, so He invites them all. Now, here's something that you need to know about this banquet. The players that were invited to the banquet, the people that are giving excuses, they have already accepted the invitation. It is in Old Testament times that if a man was going to have a banquet, say for a wedding feast or to celebrate some momentous occasion in his life, he's going to throw a feast, say upon a son's return, as we read in the prodigal son story. If he's going to do that, he's going to want to prepare to meet the needs, all the needs of all his guests. So he's not throwing a party and ordering pizzas. He's going to take some time to prepare for this feast because this is going to be a magnificent occasion. So he's going to go out and he's going to prepare the choice calf. He's going to make all these wonderful arrangements because what he wants is when they come, nothing will be left undone. He wants to prepare for all at the fullest extent. And so he sends invitation. You ever receive one of those invitations in the mail? RSVP, right? Respond. Please respond, right? It's usually for a wedding. We're going to serve a meal. Please respond with how many guests you're going to bring to the meal. Why? Because they want to make sure that if you show up, there's something for you, right? And of course, we accept. Yes, oh man, we're going to celebrate that. Man, that's going to be awesome. Definitely, we want to celebrate that with them. And we sign it, we send it back, and we solidify our spot at the table, right? We solidify our spot. These guests have committed to being a part of the celebration. They've committed to being there to live in relationship with the Father, the Master in the story. They are going to the banquet to take part in the blessings of a benevolent Master. And then he goes out and he prepares, doesn't he? He goes out and prepares. And when he is ready, do you see right there? It says, and when the feast was ready, he sends word. He sends word. And what happens? Who came? Nobody. Nobody. Now, here's the deal. They know the feast is going to happen. They know that God is prepared for it. They know the Master has set the table. They know that the calf has been prepared. They know that this is going to be an occasion where they get to live in the presence of the Master. Man, they get to celebrate the benevolence of a man. Did it cost anything for them to go to this banquet? Anything? Did the Master say, bring green bean casserole? No, he did not. Did the master say, bring $5 to cover some of the costs? No. All they have to do is show up. All they have to do is show up. And it says, and they began to do what? Make excuses. They make excuses. They began. And look at these excuses. I have bought some land, and I must go out and see it. How many of you have gone out and bought land without seeing it before? Right? Yeah? Maybe one? Right? Why? Right? Because, man, I want to know what I'm getting. Right? I want to know what I'm getting. I gotta look at something. Right? This guy, he knows. In Old Testament times, they're not just buying land. There had to be a contractual agreement for that land already. So this guy makes an excuse. Second guy like it, right? I bought some oxen. I must go test them. The third says, man, I've gotten married and I have a wife. Now, we're not going to read too far into this, but it seems like somebody has the pants in the family. Right? That's not it at all. This man would have known at the time. This is, man, I've gotten married. I don't know if I can attend your feast, right? If this guy had gotten married, he would have denied the request, the invitation beforehand. But all three make excuses. And the servants come and then report these things to the master. And what does the master become? Why would the master become angry? We need to think real fast here, because we do this sometimes. We go out with good intentions to serve the lost, and when they act like lost, right? What do? We get angry, right? We get angry. We go, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. But here's the difference between us and God. God has the right to be angry, and we don't. Why is that? It's because God has given us everything. What you're giving to somebody else that they're squandering on a dark night at a gas station isn't yours to begin with. The money that I had in my pocket was never mine. It resides in my wallet, because an almighty God put it there. I don't get to get upset when people squander his wealth. A lot of times we put ourselves in the shoes of this master and we think, man, we have the right. Look, if the lost treat us bad, God got angry. That's holy anger. We should be able to get angry too. That's not at all. You know who we are in this? We're the recipients. We're the recipients of the banquet. And we get to sit at his table. You know, there's not been a lot of times in my life where I look at a spoiled child and go, man, that is one cute kid. Man, sometimes when we go out to eat, I just pray that God keeps blinders on my children's eyes so they don't see how other children are treating their parents. Man, I've watched little kids kick their moms in the shin. I've seen little boys cuss at their mom and dad. Man, have you ever seen that in public? Doesn't it sicken you? Aren't you like, whoop that kid now, right? Don't you just want to be like, take it out. I'll watch the door, right? You can do whatever you want in the bathroom. I'll hold the door shut. You can go at it, right? You want that kid to receive justice. But listen, sometimes we act the same way. We have a spot at the table, and then somebody comes in, God invites somebody into the family, and we go, hey, that's my seat. This is my food. No, you can't have any of that. God gave that to me. And then God goes, hey, you need to share. No, I'm not sharing. And it was never yours to begin with. It's a banquet he prepared for you. It's his food at his table, in his house, on his time, on his dollar. God's love is not something we get to choose who gets to partake. God's compassion should be given out. I love this commercial, right? Because it's that black eye syndrome, man. That dad pulls up and he immediately knows That's that ref. How does I know? Because his son, right? His son got dealt unjustly on the playing field. That ref made a bad call. That dad knows. And he looks at ref and he's like, do you see it? Do you see the resignation? He knows that if he is going to be a good man in front of his family, he's going to have to put aside his differences with that ref. Don't you see that in immediate response, right? And he pulls up and he goes, man, they roll down the window. And the wife looks at him like, hit him with the bumper, right? Right? They pull up and he walks up to the window. And you could tell he is struggling with the words, isn't he? Do you need a ride? I'm pretty sure he's hoping the ref says, no, I got it. Somebody's on the way. But he doesn't. And so he just nods in the back, man. Come get out of the rain. And the ref opens up that door, and the boys are sitting there. The very boys that just lost their playoff hopes. They're going home without a ring. And the dad goes, what? Make room. Do you know what our Heavenly Father's telling us to do today? Make room. There is room at the table. How do I know that? Because look right here. Look at these verses. So they come home, and the master goes, fine. They don't want to come? Send a message to everybody. Send it out. Send out the word that I have a banquet. Why? Because God doesn't waste a thing. God did not waste his son on stiff-necked people. He wants to give compassion to all. And so he sends out the word and it says, go out quickly to the streets, to the lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. This is not something new, but it is something different. And let me tell you why. David promises Jonathan that when his line ends, David will take care of the very last of the descendants of Jonathan and Saul. And David finds out, do you remember this? David finds out there is a distant relative named Mephibosheth, and that's a hard name to say. And he's a crippled, and he's at a gate. And you know what David does? He invites him to sit at his right hand. He takes the son of his friend and also of his enemy, Saul, and makes him a place at the table. Do you have a place at the table for those who have wounded you in your life? Is there room enough in your heart to forgive those who have wounded you? Jesus steps onto this earth with one priority. It's that we may have an invitation to sit at the table of God and reap his blessings. Jesus Christ comes so that you can be reconciled with the Master. He comes so that you have room at the table. Jesus takes away the dirt in our lives so that we are washed ceremonially clean so that we can attend the banquet that God has set up for us. And the beauty of this is that we are supposed to go and do the same for the lost. We accepted the invitation, but there's still room. Look what it says in verse 22. And the servant said, we've gone and we've done what you've commanded, but there is still room. And the master says, go everywhere. Now, this has historical and both spiritual significance. Historically, Jesus came first to the Jews, right? Am I correct? To redeem the house of Israel, the line of David. He has come to bring them back to be God's holy people. But then Jesus extends it to us, and thank goodness he does. And he wipes clean. He wipes clean. And we are be able to made into a holy people because of his blood. Right? Jesus does this, and he does this so dramatically. And he does this in a few hours on a cross in Golgotha. Jesus is being nailed by people who do not even know they're sinners. They're being nailed to a cross. The people that he's come to save are mocking him. They're gambling for his clothes. They're watching him die. They're laughing. They are making fun of the quote unquote King of the Jews, which they mock him and spit upon him. And Jesus utters something from the cross. Father, I forgive them. He makes room for everyone. On that cross, he hung between two criminals, justly convicted for their sins. And even in the moment of death, Jesus brings another to the table. You will be with me today in paradise, he tells the one who confesses him as Lord. The servant says there's still room. And the servants run to the highways and the hedges, and they compel the people to come in so that the house may be filled. And then Jesus says something rather profound about the master. For I tell you, none of those who are invited shall be there shall taste my banquet. Wow. Here's the deal. There's a time where the doors close. I love Papa Do's. I love Papa Do's. I love it almost as much as I love coffee. I love Papa Do's because if you walk in at 10:59 and they close at 11, guess what they'll do for you? They will cook you the meal you want. I've walked into DQ at 8:45 and they close at 9. You know what they tell me? We've cleaned the ice cream machine. I don't care. You're open. Open that sucker back up. I want a blizzard. Right? You're 15 minutes, homeboy, right? All right? Papa Do's don't do that. You walk in at 10:59:59, and that door's open, they will sit you. They will serve you with a smile. They will let you sit till they close the doors. You could be the only one around. They'll let you eat there. Why? Because you're their guest. But if you show up at 11:01 at Papa Do's and the door is locked, guess what you don't get to do? You don't get to eat. You don't get lobster ravioli and shrimp fondue. You don't get all that wonderful stuff that I'm making your mouth water because you're hungry and you wish I'd shut up so you go home and eat. You don't get to eat. Why? Because there was an invitation. There was some open hours that said, you can eat between here and here. The invitation's for all. Please come. But the door, when it closes, it's locked. And guess what? There's going to be a time, my friends, that God shuts the door. And he's sending the invitation out today. The invitation is this. Come. Taste my goodness at the banquet. Everything that you can imagine is going to be there. You know, this comes to my mind. I'm chasing a rabbit tail real fast. Man, there's a movie called Hook with Robin Williams. It's the retelling of Peter Pan, right? And there's a part where they have a feast. The Lost Boys have a feast. And all they have to do is imagine it, and it pops up, right? So everything that you imagine pops up. Man, just think. God is beyond your imagination. God has this place prepared for you. And it's so spectacular that even if we try to describe right here, it is beyond what we could contemplate or even come up with in our minds. That's what God's inviting you to. In his presence, all that love you've been looking for, all that acceptance that you're trying to find on Facebook or in the arms of your lovers, you will find it in the presence of God that day. Everything that you've ever desired for fulfillment will be made complete at that table. But the door will close soon. Will you accept the invitation and come in? Now, some of you said, I have. I've taken part. Man, I know that I've tasted and seen that God is good. Ooh, and he is good. The door's still open, people, and there's still room at the table. That means those who are lost need to be invited. How do we do that? We show compassion. If God presents himself as the compassionate master who deals justly with his invites, then God is expecting us to do the same. We are supposed to be a people of compassion. As we read this, we see that God does three things through compassion. He brings us closer to him. You are never closer to God than when you abide in his presence. by being compassionate and gracious to somebody else. Don't you love being compassionate for somebody else? Doesn't it make you feel more fulfilled than watching the latest episodes of Cutthroat Kitchen? Right? Don't you feel good when you do something that somebody can't repay you for? Compassion brings us closer to God when we act compassionately toward others. Not only does it bring us closer to God, it puts God in the correct perspective. It puts God in the correct perspective. I'm compassionate because He's compassionate. And you need compassion, so look to God. It paints the perfect picture to the world what God is. And then compassion brings the world to a decision about their Creator. The trouble is we're really good at being compassionate to those who we love. We're super good at it. And right now, if I said, man, there's a member of our church family that has an abscess tooth but can't pay for a dentist visit, we're going to pass the plate in just a few moments. And we need to collect $700 to make sure this abscess tooth is gone. Dude, we'd meet it just like that. Why? Because we love those that love us. But what about the people who hate us? What about the people who slander us? What about the people who are not like us? Do we care enough for their abscesses in their lives? Do we care enough for the sin that is deteriorating them from the inside out to go and invite them to the table? How can I do that, Bo? How can I be compassionate toward the lost? Two simple applications. There is no greater act of love than sharing the gospel with somebody. It's going to put that very honestly. There is no greater act of love than sharing the gospel with somebody. If you believe the door is going to shut and that those people will not enter into the kingdom of God by you not telling somebody, you actually tell them you hate them. You wish that they wouldn't be at the eternal banquet with the Father. Man, some people irritate me, but man, I want everybody to be there. They just have to sit away from me when we get there. Just joking. This is a joke. We need to be able to give out the gospel just like these servants give out the invite. We must run to the crippled, the lame, the poor, the needy from the hedges and highways and byways of the world. We must run and we must declare, time is short. The banquet's about to start. Come and feast upon the wonders of our God. Second application. Not only do we need out to give gospel, right? But we need to do so unconditionally. We need to do so unconditionally. You know, we do this accidentally sometimes. Hey, I want you to hear about Jesus. Come to my church. It makes it a transaction. Come to my church and you can hear the gospel. Come to my church and be a part of what Jesus is doing. Come to my church and hear what God is saying to you. God doesn't need this building or this worship service to declare His glory. He just needs you. He just needs you to care enough to make the invitation for Him. You can invite the postman to the kingdom of God. You can invite the coworker to the great banquet of our Father. You can invite your small child or your distant relative to the wonders of our God. You can, because you still have a voice and the banquet doors are still open. It's not closed yet. Do so unconditionally. Hey, man, I'd love to talk to you about that, but I'm at work right now. Hey, guess what? Work isn't going to matter when the banquet doors close. Procedures and policies don't matter when the banquet doors close. God's not like, oh, you didn't minister during work because that doesn't fit your code of conduct at the office? Oh, well, you're excused. No, He's not going to say that. He's going to say, why didn't you tell them? The doors were wide open. Look what I did for you. Man, you get the feast here, and they don't. Because I'm a just God as well as a compassionate one. Where Will you show compassion this week to the people, like the video shows, who blacked your eye? That's what Christ did. And that's how we imitate Christ in our lives. Let's go, compassion. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, sometimes we totally take advantage of your compassion. God, we buy shoes to match outfits that we don't even wear. God, we throw away groceries because the expiration date has gone and we bought too much. God, sometimes we worry more about air conditioning and paint on the walls of your sanctuary than the condition of our heart and the soul that is your sanctuary. God, forgive us where we've not been compassionate. But God, instill in us the very nature of Christ. For knowing the hearts of men, he righteously chose to step out of heaven to become the propitiation for our sins, the very sacrifice for those who didn't deserve it, namely us. And God, because of your compassion, God, you made room at a table. God, just as Psalms 23 says that you've made us a table of banquet, God, you've opened that door through your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, those of us who now call you sons and servants in the same, God, may we run to the crippled, the lame, the broken, the forgotten. God, may we seek the highways, the four corners of this earth, and invite all to come to the table, because there is always room at your banquet. There's room still at the cross for you. That's what we sing. Now, God, may we live that out as well. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.